the right answer. Let me thank you at least the right answer. Okay. Let's go. So on Daf Chaf Ches Amud Beis, we have the sorry. The Tosfos here who discussed the definition of an oril. There's a psul oril from Karban Pesach. And Rashi on Chumash is very clear, and Tosfos here agrees with Rashi here also, and Tosfos here agrees with him, that what kind of orel is pasul from Karban Pesach? Even Meso Echav Machmas Mila, meaning even if it was Pigoach Nefesh, if it was totally not his fault, even a completely innocent, righteous orel, it's still pasul from Pesach, and the assumption is likewise from Truma, because that's learned through Gzira Shalom from Pesach. And now Tosfos has two models for who's chayiv or which kind of orel is okay for truma or not okay for truma. What are the two models? There's a katan, right, meaning pachim ben shmona, right? Mi ben shmona, and the Gemara seems to assume, at least not so clear with the maskan is, but it sounds like the maskan is certainly the possibility that. Or what's his din? What? He's what?
He doesn't eat truma.
He doesn't? No, katan. Katan, what's the din? Can he eat truma? Well, he usually doesn't eat anyway. Can you smear him with truma? So Gemara has a question until the eighth day, and it's not so clear if the question is answered, but it seems to lean towards the side of the discussion, right? So at least, at least probably kasha. On the other hand, what's on the other side of the equation? Tum-tum. And what's the din of the tum-tum? That seems pretty clear that he's puzzled. So where does Mesu Echav Machmas Mila go? So what does Rashi hold? Rashi holds that Mesu Echav Machmas Mila is like a katan, pasul min shmona, or like a tum-tum. What does Rashi hold?
Tum-tum.
Exactly. So Rashi says, Mesu Echav Machmas Mila is like a tum-tum, and that, why is he different from a katan less than shmona? Because, right, why is he like a tum-tum? Because he's a practical problem, right? He can't do the first mila. Why is he worse off than a katan less than 8 days old? What? Exactly, there's no chiyuv at all. Okay, you can discuss, which we're not getting into now, is it just there's no chiyuv mitzvah, there's not even chilul shem orla, but that Rashi's pretty poshut. Here there is no chiyuv meikara, right? He's not chayv duvers mil at all. And here, you know, there is a chiyuv, just he has a side problem. Rashi, I think, makes a lot of sense logically. A katan, less than 8 days old, has no din of mila at all, so therefore he has no soul of Ariel. Someone who's older than 8 days old, but is a tumtum, or is meso echav machmas mila, and has a technical problem having the bris mila, might not be morally, halakhically at fault for it, but lamaitzi, still an Ariel, is supposed to do a bris mila, and he can't. That's Rashi. However, Rabbeinu Tam, what does Rabbeinu Tam say? Rabbeinu Tam says, right, Rabbeinu Tam is quoted in a number of places in Shas, and our sugi, the Tosfos Shan, says, like the first one who quotes Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says, no, Meso Echav Machmas Mila is kosher or pasul?
Kosher.
Why? Because he's just like, what does he say?
Cut.
Right, I'm not adding this, is what he says, right? He says, it's like Lo Bizmana. Right? So, Rabbeinu Tam says that Meso Echav Machmas Mila is also Shalom Bizmana, right? And he's just like a Kata Pachim Ben Shmona. And of course, why the most Rishonim reject Rabbeinu Tam? Because they say, why is Meso Echav Machmas Mila any better than a Tum Tum? But before we get to that, what's the Yisod of the Machlokas between Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi? Why did Rabbeinu Tam argue with Rashi? Rabbeinu Tam says that Meso Echav Machmas Mila is Shalom Bizmana. It's like being 6 or 7 days old. And Rashi says, no, it's not like Shalom Bizmana. What do they seem to be arguing about? Anyone? What are they arguing about?
Well,
Leptur.
Aha, bet Leptur, Mesu Echav Echav Mila, right? Let's start a step back. Mesu Echav Machmas Mila. Rabbeinu Tam says that he is totally putter. It's not the Zman of Mila yet for him, right? Like under 8 days old. Rabbeinu Tam holds that he is putter Meikara, not the Zman of Mila. I mean, he'll never be the Zman of Mila. Basically, Rabbeinu Tam says, just to put it even more sharply, is that there's no mitzvah of Mila for him, right? Like a katan less than 8 days old. Right? He's putter Meikara. Right, he's not chayav in Mila. And what would Rashi say? Rashi says, no, Mezarfas Mila is chayav in Mila, he just has an excuse. Right? Rashi says he's chayav in Mila, but he has a valid excuse. Aha, so this is a big machlokes we've shown him. If you look in the beginning of Ha'orel, on Yevamah Daf Ayin, where the Rishonim analyze the machlokes in Rashi Minas Tam, here they don't analyze it a lot. All the Rishonim analyze it more in the beginning of the Me'iri and the Ramban and the Rashi and the Ritva and some others, in the beginning of Ha'orel in Yevamah Daf Ayin. So they actually debate whether Meso Echav Machlas Mila is a permanent problem or a temporary problem. Rabbeinu Tam sounds not so clear what Rabbeinu Tam himself holds, but some Rishonim say, no, once you have two brothers who unfortunately died because of the Mila, you can never eat a Mila because it'll always be Shash Sakana. Well, some Rishonim hold, no, when you get older, we see that you're in robust health, then that can make a difference. So that's not clear what Rabbeinu Tam himself, at the best, maybe it's clear somewhere, but in all the Makoros that I can recall, it's not clear what he himself held.
Doesn't he call it Shalob Yizman apply there is Yizman for the
I'm not convinced because, like, he's just borrowing the phrase for a comparison. Not like he chose the phrase of his own free will. Okay. So, obviously, they're arguing about something very, very lumdish here. Right? Meaning, they both agree. The guy's made for Ephemachus Mila. We'd never give him a bris mila. Right? And we'd totally not let him have a bris mila. The question is just, is that because he's mufka from the mitzvah of bris mila, the mitzvah of bris mila doesn't apply to him, or the bris mila does apply to him, there's just a reason why it's okay for him to not do it, perhaps even required for him to not do it, even though it does apply to him. So what are they arguing about? So, there's standard yeshiva charade on this. I mentioned this, the Asman Daraisa, Simon Yud Gimel. Also, I noticed that Rav Chana discussed this at great length. He also brings in this machlokas in the Kovetz Ha'aros Simon Memches. It deals with other things at the beginning, but then towards the end, he deals with these in Yanim. So it could be that he's arguing about a chakira in the Achronim about the nature of the Ptur of Anus. Right? This guy's Anus. He can't do a bris mila. Right? Through no fault of his own. So it could be that maybe they're arguing about the Ptur of Anus is an Anus not chayav in the mitzvah at all, or is an Anus chayav in the mitzvah but excused. Right? It could be they're arguing about the term anus.
In Kol Torah Kula.
Anus be Kol Torah Kula. Or at least be mitzvos. You know, if you want to say maybe anus in Onshim is different, maybe anus in Dinim Amnis is different, but at least anus in mitzvos. Can anyone think of another nafkamina this chakira, whether an anus is fundamentally exempt from the mitzvah, or he's chayiv in the mitzvah, he just has a valid excuse? So they point out that there are other places where this is discussed. For example, the question of whether he's considered a bar hag. For example, can a woman write tefillin? What? A woman cannot. A woman can't write tefillin because why not? Because she's not a bar shira. She's not chayiv in tefillin. So what about someone who's right, left arm is cut off, right? Is that person a bar hachi in tefillin or not? Or Tosfos in Yevamah has a discussion of, what about someone, if you assume, not so pashut, that you can't do yibum unless you're a bar chalitza? It seems pashut the other way around, that you can't do chalitza if you're not a bar yibum. But anyway, if someone can't talk, are they a bar chaliza? There's a question of, are you considered a bar hachi? Which, who cares if you're a bar hachi? It makes enough gemita sometimes. You can only write tefillin if you're a bar hachi. And perhaps you're only shy to the parsha of Yibum, if, and chalitza, if you're a bar hachi. There are many other areas of the Torah where you have to be a bar hachi. So, could be that this is one nafkamina, other nafkaminas might be that if the onus is not chayiv nitz at all, then he would not be called a bar hachi. And for example, he would be pasul to write tefillin. While if he is chayiv in the mitzvah, he just has an excuse for not keeping it, then he would be called a bar hachi. And for example, he would be kosher to write tefillin. The Magen Avraham in Siman Lamed Tes assumed that he would be kosher to write tefillin. Magen Avraham, Siman Lamed Tes, I don't remember the Asimtam.
According to Rashi, we say that he's patur because he's a valid excuse. What if he gives himself bismillah anyways? Does he accomplish anything? According to me, in time, he doesn't accomplish anything.
Aha. So that is an excellent question. Now, obviously, in these examples of someone who is like mufka, like the guy who didn't have an arm with filling on, so it's not even shy to ask the question, but let's say we're asking you're honest, but you do it anyway, would you be yotze? So there's a big discussion, the oneg yontif, simen mem aleph. Let's say the doctors told you you'll die if you eat matzah. And you eat matzah anywhere, are you yotze? What?
No, they have to be.
If then all of a sudden they come out with a miraculous cure during the Seder night, and now it's safe, you have to eat again.
No, but here, there'd be a huge have to be for this. And you're not allowed afterwards if you do something for Smila.
Right, so when it comes to Smila specifically, he wants to suggest that even if you're a putter, there still could be, you still could lose your status of RL. That gets into
even
more complex
even
issues.
Going to be
right, that even if someone's pasul for Smila, if you take off their Arla, they're not an Arla anymore. That is a big discussion, you know, that has to do with the nature of something that's on Bris. And, you know, I don't want to go there now, because that's its own whole realm of lumpus. Another classic nafkamina of this is the big discussion, the Gilyam Arshar brings this up, in the end of the Simon Chav Ches of Yordea. Can I get into a position where I'm honest and can't do a mitzvah I'm supposed to? Like, for example, can I wear my talis on Shabbos if it doesn't have tzitzis on it? I'm honest for putting on tzitzis, right? It's Shabbos. Or if I'm in a desert island and there are no strings, right? So is that okay? Because like I'm honest, so it's fine. Or no, you should try to avoid it if you can. If you have no choice, everyone agrees you can be an honest, right? If there's no tefillin, if I'm in a desert island without tefillin, obviously I don't wear tefillin. But let's say, can I choose to put myself into a situation of honest? So the Mordechai says famously, oh, on Shabbos, and the Achronim assume there could be other scenarios like this also, it's fine to wear a four-cornered beged without tzitzis. Because you're honest, you're not doing anything wrong. Right? He says, perfectly fine. The Ramah in Simon Yod Gimel makes a bit of a compromise and says, well, you know, he wouldn't necessarily go that far, but if you're wearing it and it broke, then, you know, you don't have to take it off, even if it's only slightly inconvenient. But, and the Gilyam Arsha and Simon Kafka says, hold on a second. It seems to be a fact. Seems to be, because almost all Rishonim think this is before Shemara, if you learn Beitza. Not so clear it's before Shemara, the Sfasanis gets out of it. But that you can't shaft if you don't have dirt for a piece of Yadam. Meaning not a behema. You can't shaft the chicken if you don't have dirt. So hold on, how come I... So anyway, this is a big discussion. Like, you know, what's the real rule? Can I get into a situation where I'm honest from doing a mitzvah? Or can I not get into a situation where I'm honest from doing a mitzvah? L'chora, this should, and that's what Rav Chanan and other people point out, this might be totally on the same question, right? If you say an honest is mamish mufka legamre, right? If you say like a Rabbeinu Tam, what do you mean? This guy was honest, he's not an oral at all. He's like a woman. A woman's not an oral just because she didn't have brismila, because she didn't have to, and he's like a 60-year-old baby. He's not an oral because he's lacking brismila, because he wasn't supposed to get a brismila. So this guy's mufka legamre. If you're mufka legamre, it should be mutter to even enter into that situation, l'kachila. Right, so you should say it's mutter to make yourself an onus. Obviously, when I say mutter to make yourself an onus, I don't mean like that's the highest madriga of ruchnius. Obviously, it's better to have more mitzvahs than less mitzvahs, but if you're not going to have the mitzvah anyway, you could not wear your talis on Shabbos and not have tzitzis, or wear it and not have tzitzis. Either way, you're not going to have the mitzvah, so you might as well wear it. No problem not putting on tzitzis because you're an honest. That is the Mordechai. As opposed to the Gilyan Marisho says, no, it's usur. To enter into a situation of a Torah Anus. This is the question of the Gilyan Marisho. In the end, he gets very confused because he's not sure exactly, you know, if he should reject someone, if there's an answer he's not thinking of, and it could very well be. There's plenty of answers that you can think of.
In terms of this question, would there be a difference, you know, when the forefront would just be regular clothing? I mean, now these people are trying to tell us about business. Like, I'm clearly putting on, you know,
right, that's the thing. Lemaisa, no one would say nowadays you should put on your talis on Shabbos. Even when the poskim bring down this more of an orthodox, they don't say you should walk around with the talis without tzitzis on Shabbos. Like, why are you being an idiot? You know, like, obviously you shouldn't do something that is ridiculous. That'll be common sense. Their question is, you know, if your tzitzis break off your talis on Shabbos, and like it's a small gnai to sit in shul without a talis, not mamish kavod abrios. Mamish kavod abrios to strip naked in shul, so even in doraisa you're allowed to be about to shave al tasa. You know, it's a small gnai. Or if your talis kavod breaks in the street. And, you know, it's a small gnai to reach inside and take out your talis cotton from your shirt in the street. If you're, I don't know, for nowadays, not even a small gnai. But, you know, at least 100 years ago, it's still a small gnai. You know, so in that's the case, they discuss it more. You know, that's the more important case is, you know, or whenever, like, it's inconvenient to leave your talis someplace where, I mean, that's not the case they discuss. You know, you can leave your talis someplace and then it'll be hard to get it back. So in those are the cases where it really comes up, because no one's going to say, just do something ridiculous. But theoretically.
Well, I said, if you're wearing a talus on Shabbos and the strings break, and you have another talus on another bag in your bag, should you change it?
Oh, for sure you should change it, because everyone agrees that, then you should change it, because now you're not doing a mitzvah and you can do a mitzvah. Everyone agrees it's better to do more mitzvahs. That's, you know, if you have, everyone agrees it's better to do mitzvahs than not. The question is better to not do mitzvahs and not have the beged, or is it all the same to have the beged or not? And that's the same question Kisei Adam. Everyone agrees if you can get dirt, you should check your chicken and get dirt. But if you don't have dirt anyway, you can not do Shechita, not do Kisei Adam, or do Shechita, not do Kisei Adam. If that's controversial, many of the Shonim think that it's also to Shechita in that case, but it's not so clear.
This may get too far into the lines of spilling, but let's say, for instance, with the woman that we were talking about, she may not get back sure, but if she would put on spilling, she would make a bra.
That is... First of all, that's an assumption. It's a valid assumption for you. And, you know, we've successfully gotten rid of...
Right, I would agree that she could have achieved something.
But not so poshut. Okay. Anyway, you're right. The point is that obviously, but that bar shira means bar chiyuk shira, not bar maisuk shira. Not bar chiyuk shira. That's what you have to say. If you assume that a woman has a chiyuk, you have to say that you have to be a bar chiyuva in order to write. Because that's a fact you can't get around. Okay, there are... The Achronim bring up many other more speculative nafkaminas, but you know there's enough to illustrate the Hakira that when it comes to Ptor Anos, there are two ways to look at it. Either Hashem was never meichel a mitzvah on this mitzvah makom ones, or no, you're totally chayiv in the mitzvah makom ones. You just have a valid excuse for not doing it, and nafkamina perhaps whether you're considered a bar chiyuva in order to write tefillin or do other preparatory stages. Number two. Whether it would be okay to get into a situation of onus, or you should try to avoid the situation of onus if you can. And perhaps number three, Rashi and Binu Tam, is a meso echa machas mila, considered someone who regrettably is mavah, is an orel, but even though it's not his fault, he's still puzzled from Karban Pesach. Or no, meso echa machas mila is like someone who's like a woman or a 3-year-old baby who's not even, doesn't even have a psul of orel because they were never supposed to do mila in the first place.
Just one more question. Does everyone agree if with the evidence put on the peg end, that I'm not being vital to say?
No, that's goof of the Chakira. Are you not being vital to say, or are you being... No, that's goof of the Chakira. Maybe you are being vital to say. Maybe you are being vital to say. You're vital to say va'anus, but maybe you shouldn't get into a situation of onus. And then there's some question of chilas and b'shiyos of bonus, perhaps. And you're right. that would make it more complicated, but let's leave it at that nonetheless. Okay, just one other point, which is that there could be another way to explain the Yesod of the Machlokes between Rashi and Rabbi Tam, because maybe what we're dealing with, and this is what Elchanan brings up, maybe we're not just dealing with the case of Ones here. Is this exactly a regular case of Ones? How is this different from the other case of Ones that I mentioned?
It's awesome.
What? It's awesome. Because of what factor?
It's a pun.
Right, Pikuach Nefesh. Pikuach Nefesh might be different than Ones. Because you could do it. Right? Ones, you can't do it. Pikuach Nefesh, you could do it. You're just not required to, and we assume in regular case of Pikuach Nefesh, not even allowed to. Right? We learned a few months ago. Machlokes Rishonim, whether if you're under, you know, religious persecution, you're allowed to be machmir and sacrifice your life. But everyone agrees that if you're just sick, you're not allowed to be machmir and sacrifice your life. So it's a little different. On the one hand, you physically could do it. On the other hand, you could do it and you still aren't supposed to do it. So maybe that means that you're really, you know, like an honest, maybe Hashem didn't say, oh, you're mufka from the mitzvah. Just the mitzvah, what can you do? But the Pikuach Nefesh could have done the mitzvah. After all, there's Avodah Zarah and Gilui Reish because Davar, where Hashem told you to do the mitzvah, even if it'll cost you your life. It's just that Hashem decided that you shouldn't do the mitzvah in this case. So perhaps, and this is the way Rabbi Elchanan suggests the second way of understanding, perhaps they're arguing that a chakira, not about Ones, but about Pikuach Nefesh, is Pikuach Nefesh. Right? Maybe Rabbi Natan might admit that a regular Onus is just an excuse. But Pikuach Nefesh is better than a regular Onus. After all, Pikuach Nefesh is actually a commandment. It's actually an obligation. Right? It's actually a, you know, what's the Pasuk one is one hour l'sasa davar. That sounds like an excuse. Pasuk Pikuach Nefesh is v'chaybahem. It's an overriding value. So, it could be, is Pikuach Nefesh, maybe the argument of here Pikuach Nefesh. Now, Tom says that v'makom Pikuach Nefesh, there's no mitzvah at all. And Rashi might say that no, Pikuach Nefesh is just another onus. It's just another excuse. Right? So Rashi, theoretically, say even onus is more fun about pashtus. You would want to say Pikuach Nefesh is at least as strong as onus. Rashi might say Pikuach Nefesh is just another excuse. Yes, you have a valid excuse, but you're still an RL. Well, Rabbi Natan would say, no, the whole point of Pikuach Nefesh is that Hashem told you, I don't want you to do the mitzvah in this case. If Hashem told you he doesn't want you to do the mitzvah, then you're like a woman, or better yet, more accurately, like a tino who's less than 8 days old. If Hashem said, I don't want you to do this mitzvah, if Hashem doesn't want you to do the mitzvah, then you're not even an RL.
We explain the Chavos in a different way, but the way most people explain the Chavos in the Rambam and the Ramah, in terms of a person who does, who is over when he should be with his life, are they, could be they arguing on the same point? But the Rambam says it's Ptoronis, it's Ptoronis.
No, but you're talking about the opposite case. They're arguing about a case when there was no Heter Pikuach Nefesh. Oh, you mean because of Ptoronis?
Yeah.
It is the Rambam would say there's still a din of Ones even when there's no Heter Pikuach Nefesh. And the Ramach would say there's no din of Ones when there's no Heter Pikuach Nefesh. I'm not sure if that's connected to this.
Or no, you're Ones in both cases. The Rambam says, well, if you're an Ones, therefore there's no, you know, obviously you're not going to be high for this, therefore we have to be Kiddush Hashem or Chil Hashem. Well, the Rambam says, no, there's, no, you're Ones, but nevertheless, high in this mitzvah in certain times, you have to, Ones is
not specifics here discussed by three mitzvahs, so I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not going
to. It would seem that the two are sort of opposite, then. When there's Ones, you don't apply to the Kiddush Nefesh. I mean, the Kiddush Nefesh only comes up when you still have a choice.
Correct, meaning if you could conceptualize in different ways. Pikuach Nefesh would just be a funny case of Ones. There's an Ones where I mamish can't, and an Ones where I can't because of danger. Or as you're saying, no, they're totally different cases. It's only shy talking about Pikuach Nefesh when you could. You could. It's only shy talking about Ones when you can't. So maybe they're fundamentally different cases. And maybe that's part of the Machlokes, where Rabbi Tam is saying that b'makom Pikuach Nefesh, the mitzvah is not chal at all, and therefore meso echa machas mila is mila shlo b'zmana. And Rashi saying that no, that Pikuach Nefesh, the mitzvah is still chal on you. It's just another kind of Ones, or it's just equivalent to Ones.
Just another way of being chakira, a different chakira. I think you referenced this before, but couldn't they be arguing about what this qualification of Orla is? Is it the Orla itself, or is it the truth to be Ma.
Okay, good. So let's come back to that in a second. So I don't want to overly much go into this this Chakira, but this might be similar, but kind of not so short. A famous Chakira. What's the famous Chakira of Epiguach Nefesh? What? Hutra Dechuya, right? That's already, the Rishonim discussed this. It didn't wait for the briskers to come along. So this might tie into Hutra and Dechuya, right? Not, doesn't have to be the exact same thing, but maybe the argument of this, the Pikuach Nefesh, and that might be more related to the Ona Yontif's Chakir when there's Pikuach Nefesh or even Yosei the Mitzvah or not. Because again, by a regular, real case of Ones, Flesh has thought that if you do it, you can't do it. But the Ona Yontif also brings in a lot of side factors, like Mitzvah of Avera. But perhaps also, you know, perhaps other nafkaminas and things you tie into would be A, the Ona Yontif question, right? Ona Yontif. Why, if you do it, are you Yotze or not? Right? If you do it, you're still not Yotze. Right? Or, if you do it, you are Yotze. Again, if you look at the Ona Yontif Mem Aleph, the scenarios become very complicated and he throws in a lot of curveballs. But the basic question we understand. He throws in a lot of curveballs like, well, if you do it and you live, then maybe you might also, well, then you call it Nefesh. You know, I guess that becomes an epistemological.
In this case, it's even worse. If you do it, if you hold that Pikuach Nefesh is like Theo, so then, which it is, so then not only are you not Yotze, but you've done the Avera.
You've definitely done the Avera. The question is, have you at least been Yotze, and then you get into Mitzvah of Avera. But it's all based on the Gemara, which says that it's an Isser to do a Mila if it's Pikuach Nefesh, and the question what it means.
But that's why this might fall out differently than the Onus.
Correct.
Because in the Onus, there's no Avera on doing it.
Correct. Correct, absolutely. And also, you know, we're not getting into this whole thing, but the famous issue of maybe this is really another way of saying the Chakira of Hutra or Dechuya. Okay, if, you know, one way of understanding the Chakira of Hutra and Dechuya in Rishonim is Hutra means the mitzvah doesn't apply to all. Dechuya means the mitzvah applies, but you have an excuse for violating it. In which case, maybe that's the Machlokes Rashi and Rav Tam. Although, Rav Schechter loves to say that's not what the Machlokes with Hutra and Dechuya is about. But at least on a simple level, you know, maybe they're arguing about Hutra and Dechuya, and that's what Rudolf Engel suggests. You have to hear what he says to Rachon if you really want to get into the Achronim on this. Okay, so that's a second way of understanding their machlokes. What Dani is suggesting is, was it you suggested a totally different way of understanding the machlokes? Yeah. Is a totally different way of understanding the machlokes. Maybe they're not arguing about the patur of Meso Echa Machlos Mil at all. Rather, they're arguing about the disqualification of Karban Pesach and the nature of a katan who's less than 8 days old. Meaning, a third way of understanding this, it's green, luckily we have three colors, oh, I see that a fourth if we need it, is that maybe they all agree that Meso Echa Machlos Mila is totally putter. The question is, what are the ground rules of Karban Pesach, right? Rashi says that anyone with an Arla is puzzle. And then what does he just have to be a Kaddish? Then until you're 8 days old, you haven't yet grown an Arla, right? But until 8 days, there is no Arla, right? Not everyone has an Arla. As a matter of fact, half the people don't have an Arla. So what you have to say is that no, wrong. 100% of the people don't have an Arla when they're born. Just have them grow one when they're 8 days old. And half the people never grow one. I don't mean grow one physically, obviously. I mean halachically. So maybe Rashi understands, no, a katan less than 8 days old doesn't even have an Arla. But the guy who's now 20 years old and, you know, a strapping young man, and he clearly has an Arla, he just has a halachic patur from the mitzvah. But since he has an Arla, he'd be puzzled, because it depends on the chefza of an Arla. Well, Rav Tam would say no, that anyone who was mevatel the mitzvah's mila is puzzled. Right? They're arguing at the psol. Rav Tam says the psol is someone who didn't do the mitzvah of mila. And this guy never had the mitzvah of mila, if you'll assume a certain way. or maybe the psul is someone who's at fault, although that's going to be a little tricky. Well, Rashi would say, no, the psul is the chetzah shel arla,
And then Rashi would just have to make this chiddush that you're born without an arla, and it only becomes a chafshah shel arla in the eighth day. But the Briskers like that chiddush anyway, because, you know, one of the favorite things the Briskers have is this medrash that the Avos kept called Tarakula, because it's really gevaldik for Briskers, because, you know, it might be interesting hashkafically also. It's actually very, very fascinating hashkafically, philosophically, did the Avos keep called Tarakula or not, and why. But that's not what the Briskers care about. For the Briskers, if the Avos kept called Tarakula, the problem is, it says in the Chumash, they didn't keep called Tarakula, because they did many things that are against the Torah. And I don't mean, like, things that people accuse them of doing wrong. I mean things that are perfectly fine, that happen to be against the laws of the Torah. Like Yaakov marrying two sisters, rather, or four sisters, or however many they were, etc. And then the Briskers have to have a lot of simcha shel mitzvah in explaining why, for lundish reasons, they really were keeping the whole Torah, and what they love is chetzes. Right, this is where Briskers love Chetza Gavra. Why? Because the basic halacha, you can answer all the questions in one fell swoop. The almost says Gavra is kept kol Torah kula, but Hashem had given the Torah yet there were no Chetzas. Therefore, what? Of course, Yaakov is a Gavra, kept the Isser against marrying two sisters. But since there was no Torah yet, there was no Chalos Kiddushin yet, and there was no Chetza of a wife, and therefore he never married two sisters because Rachel was never a sister-in-law, so he couldn't be married to Leah. As a gavra, he kept everything in the Torah, but he couldn't create a chetza of ishus, because chavoses in the chetza couldn't come about voluntarily till Hashem said them in Har Sinai. So that's why there's a famous question all the Achronim deal with: why didn't Avram get a bris mila before Hashem told him if he kept kol Torah kula? So there are many answers, but the Brisker answer is because you can't do a bris mila unless you have a chetza of an orla, and nowadays you might grow the chetza of orla at 8 days old. But until Hashem first said something, there was no chetz of arla. So as a gavra, Avram wanted to keep the mitzvah bris milah, but he had no chetz of arla to cut. So therefore, there was nothing he could do until Hashem was mechadesh a chetz of arla. That's how you deal with everything.
I just have to ask: there's a Rashi at Chumash that says Avram was talking to Kadosh Baruch Hu, fell down and bowed because he was embarrassed to be standing with an arla for Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's before the tivui the milah.
I saw in one of the Achronim. Don't ask me where. If my life depended, I can tell you where. But I saw someone said, no, Rashi only says that Avram fell down during the conversation where Hashem was mitzvah him to get a bris mila. Said, because once Hashem came, well, basically, you have to be nitchak a little to say that all the previous times Avram didn't fall down, so he had no chetz of arla. But once Hashem already decided to be mitzvah him and started the conversation, even though he hadn't told him yet, Hashem was already mechadish the chetz shel arla, and that's why he fell down. It's a little dachuk, but that's what you have to say.
So I'm totally on the machlokes meshachachma nasadaris about whether that you need the Torah to create chetzes. Meaning, adumis d'rabbanan are have chetzes.
Correct. Which again is all things that are beyond what we're talking about now. But you're absolutely right.
So once Jews are mitzvah, then goyim also have arla.
You mean in terms of Bilam?
Yeah.
sorry. You might have to say that, which would be funny. You know, normally you would think, no, the whole chetzah doesn't apply to goyim, right? Like, Tomah doesn't apply to goyim. Like, a lot of things you think, oh, the goyim are so not religious, so they must be super duper Tomah. And they're not Tomah at all, right? They're like pristine Tara, because it just doesn't apply to them. So, but you could say it's a special, I don't even mind saying it's a special Xeris Akasa that the Chepshel Arla will fight the Goyim, because the Gemara Nadarim points out for many Pshukim that there's a special din in Tanakh that the Goyim are called Arelim. Masha'in Kane, they're not necessarily called everything else wrong in the Torah. Right? Meaning, we don't call the Goyim, boiling needles. Right? Because it doesn't apply to them. Right? We don't call them, I don't know, whatever else we don't call them. We don't call them Mechal Shabbos, right? As a matter of fact, Adarava, right? But we call it, so it could be the special Zeres Akasav Orla and Goyim. But I'm not sure. This is already,
you could also say
needs more
because you might be in for years for this.
Right, that could also be true. That's a good Hara. That is a good Hara.
They do create Chetzes of Avodah Zarah.
What?
They do create Chetzes of Avodah
Zarah. Goyim definitely create Chetzes of Avodah Zarah.
That may be because they're Chayim.
No, but I was talking about not what the Goyim can create, but what the Goy is. A guy can create a chetza of Avodah Zarah, for sure. Maybe that's unique because goyim are defined as Ovdei Avodah Zarah, right? I know, technically, you can have a guy who's not an Ovdei Avodah Zarah. But really, you shouldn't, because really someone's not going to leave Zara should be a Gertosha, not for technical problems.
Either way, yeah.
Right, and there definitely been someone. Okay. This is a little bit about RL, and I think we're almost ready to leave this Machlokes Rashi Meir Tam for now. The only most disturbing part of Machlokes Rashi Meir Tam is if you read to the end of the Tosfos Shanz, it sounds like this is not much of a Machlokes, Meir Tam's push it wrong. Right? Because isn't Tumtum the same as Meso Echel Machlokes Mila? This is where it gets a little tricky, and this is where I'm a little unsatisfied, or at least not sure. How does Rabbeinu Tam, why is Mesu Echav Machmas Mila better than a Tumtum for Rabbeinu Tam? This is a little tricky. Why is Mesu Echav Machmas Mila better than a Tumtum according to Rabbeinu Tam? Because they both seem to have the same problem, which is that you have a practical problem doing the bris milah. And all the Rishonim you've almost tried to defend Rabbeinu Tam, it's not so clear exactly what they mean. I think if you come back here at 12, someone will be more ma'ayin than that, and quotes you what the Pri Yitzchak says, although I looked up the Pri Yitzchak and he just says all the other Rishonim are wrong. I don't think he actually gets around to explain.
Isn't the first Mesohachit category where he's able to do the bris?
He's able to, but it's Pikoch Nefesh.
But the Tumtum is not able.
Is not able to. Okay, good. So I think that, I'm not sure what, you can look at the Rishonim and Yevamos. I'm not going to quote them, not because I think they're wrong, but because I'm not 100% sure if I know what they mean, so I don't want to, like, lie in their name. But they say something like, well, Meso Achamachos Mila. Well, and the truth is, get back another set, depends which Rishonim and Yevamos. But what they say, at least by Tom, a Tom Tom, if you were Korea, you could do a bris. But in Mesa Echalachas Mila, you can't do a bris.
Why is it supposed to say it's Mustaf? I mean,
all Rishonim agree that he doesn't have to do the surgery and be Mal himself.
Is that a horrible question to ask why not? Does that just mean
it? No, it's not a horrible question at all to ask why not. As a matter of fact, it's not clear why not. And I tried to figure out what Rabbeinu Tam himself would answer to that, because I thought that would help. And I couldn't find any place in Tosfos themselves that explained why not. Some people assume it's because nefesh to tear. Obviously, don't think of nowadays. Nowadays, I mean, this poor Tumtum guy, like, all he has is a little piece of skin covering his private parts. Nowadays, that would be, you know, that would be an outpatient procedure. It would be a 15-minute procedure. Right? They'd probably give you local anesthetic. Yimamish, no big deal. But in those days, you have to realize, any significant surgery killed you because they didn't have antiseptic techniques. So that's what I wonder. Is it lo mistaber? So that's why, this is what I want to say for Tosfos, and I'm not sure this is what the Rishonim Yomis are saying, but you can go there and try and figure out, if you can figure out what they are saying, then I'm sure it's better than this. But I think if I like your deep in Tosfos, I'm going to make the same deep in Tosfos. Tosfos doesn't say if Pashat he'll die if he's Korea and does the bris milah. Tosfos says, what's his lashon? Misvara ein chayav likroa. Now, again, I don't know what that means. Maybe it means svara is pikoach nefesh. In which case, tumtum is going to be exactly meso echemachos mila, and you're going to have a lot of trouble. I can get out of that also, but I can't get out of it convincingly. So I think what you might want to say for Tosfos is that a tumtum is not pikoach nefesh. A tumtum is a regular onus. It's just, it's so hard that this is a valid onus. This is a valid excuse. Right? Meaning, you can't. What's a tumtum? He can't do a bris milah. Why can't he do the bris milah? Because he can't reach the eiver. It's blocked. And if you ask, doesn't he have to remove the blockage? So no, taka, he doesn't have to remove the blockage, maybe because you're not chayav to, I mean, it's a little bit of an interesting question. Normally, you're not chayav to damage your health for a mitzvah saseh. Even if you wouldn't die, you're not chayav to get sick for a mitzvah saseh. So, of course, by mila, this is special xeris kasim ki alecho ragnu kol hayom, but you could say that only by the maisa mila, not by machshire mila. Really? If the guy does, if I have no knife to maul my baby, and I have my undershirt, I have to walk in the rain for an hour and get sick in order to give my baby a bris? Not so clear. I have to cut his arla even though he gets sick. That's exeris akasuv, right? And that's kilecho ragu kol yom. But it's not clear that machshire mila have higher requirements, higher standards than other mitzvahs, let's say. Not pashut to me at all. So Which is why, even if you want to say it's pikuach nefesh, maybe you could say it's pikuach nefesh is a machshir, but it's different. But that's what I wanted to say, maybe, is that if you understand Rabbi Natan based on pikuach nefesh being better than anus, then maybe you can answer that tumtum is just anus. You're anus. You can't do a bris milah because there's nothing there. Oh, I could get to something by doing surgery. Okay, you don't have to go so far through the surgery. But lamaisa, tonight I don't have to go as far as through the surgery. All I have is a ptur of anus. Well, it's not pikuach nefesh. It's not that it would be awesome for me to do the surgery and I would die. No one would die if I did the surgery. I just don't have to go that far. Machshir and mila don't require me to undergo surgery. But you could say a tumtum is just anus. But mesu echav machmas mila is pikuach nefesh, and all you have to say is that anus is just an excuse. But mesu echav but pikuach nefesh is a ptur meikara. And maybe that's the way to defend Rabbi Natan. Again, I'm admitting that if you look at Rishonim Svar at the beginning of Ha'aril, I'm not sure this is what they mean, and I'm not sure what they mean. But maybe you can defend Rabbi Natan. Oh, I should have used green for Rabbi Natan. But maybe you can defend Rabbi Natan by saying that he was only saying it by Pikuach Nefesh, not by Anus. And Mesu Echem Achaz Mil is Pikuach Nefesh, but Tum Tum is only Anus.
The answer may simply be no, but is it absolutely clear that the tour of not having to injure yourself for a Mitzvah is not from the tour? What is the source of that?
That's what the poskim assume. Is it absolutely clear that over Shonim have to agree? I'm not sure.
What is the Torah?
All the poskim assume, because you don't have to give more than Chomash Nechasa from its Sasei, and therefore there's the equivalent. Okay. So, now where did that Torah come from? Not sure where it comes from. But it comes from someplace.
You call a person Anus on Staka more than a Chomash? Anus, because he doesn't have to do it? He doesn't have to do
that. No, the reason I'm calling him Anus is because he doesn't have to do the thing that is machshir the mitzvah of Mila.
Right, but why is that he can't?
Right now he can't do a Mila because it's blocked. The fact that whether or not he couldn't get around the blockage is a separate child. Once we pass and he doesn't have to get around the blockage, then he's Anus. Then he's Anus. That's what I'm saying. Once we pass and he doesn't have to get around the blockage, then he's honest. The example I mean is this. Let's say it's too hard for you to go get tefillin. You're locked in jail and it's too hard for you to get tefillin. So now you're an honest from tefillin. You don't say it was just too hard. Right now you don't have tefillin, you're an honest. Oh, could you have gotten out of your onus? No, it's too hard to get out of the onus. But right now you're in jail without tefillin, you're an onus. That's what I'm saying. Right now he's an honest. The background of that might be various reasons why he didn't have to do the kriya. But right now he's an honest. Theoretically, maybe even if it was Pikuach Nefesh to do the Kriya, you could say, but Pikuach Nefesh to do the Kriya, but the reason punch for Mila is honest. But that, I'm not willing to defend. Okay. So that's one possibility. Again, you have to look at the show in the beginning of RL and see if you can figure out. They're saying, I think this is where the Pre-Yitzhak is going, if you want to look there. But also, I'm not sure if you want to look there, because he's really having a totally different discussion. It only comes on to this a little. Okay. That's a little bit awkward. Now let's get on to the next very controversial, fascinating part, which is, what one word would you erase from our Gemara if you wanted to make your life easier? Now, that's not a fair question, because we don't want to make our lives easier. We want to make our lives more interesting with more sugyas and Talmud Torah. But let's say you wanted to make your life easier. Which word would you erase from our Gemara? Marar. Why? Because what does our Gemara say? Right? And talk about RL, when it comes to Tomei Derech Chavoka, the whole pet stock is diet, I mean, the whole pet stock, you'll hold matzah, we're not in the middle, come on, you eat matzah and maror. Basically, there's a drusha that a Tomei and Derech Chavoka and an RL, and possibly a Benechor also, depending on what the Tosh Hashan's pointed out about the different yourselves in the Tzadi Vav. But clearly, it's Aurel and Tami Derech Chavoka, there's a drasha that they eat maror. What's the problem with saying an Aurel and a Tami Derech Chavoka eat maror? Right? Why would anyone want to... But first of all, who wants to erase this from our sugya? Who does want to erase this?
Rabbeinu David.
What? Rabbeinu David and the Chiddush around. The Rabban says someplace that he wants to erase it?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, Gevaldik. Okay, thank you. Great. Was that in the footnote of Rabbeinu David?
Yeah.
Okay. So Rabbeinu David and the Rabban, Shiran, basically, you know, that whole school of later Rishonei Sfarad, they all want to erase Marar. Why do they want to erase Marar? Right, because it's Kuf Chaf Amin Aleph. What did it say in Daf Kuf Chaf Amin Aleph? That, as Machlok, Sinur Vacher, is it Rav Acher Yaakov there?
Yeah.
Am I?
Yeah,
okay. Coincidentally, also. The next. I mean, not coincidence. They were sparring partners. But Rav Acher Yaakov says Marar and Matos Mamas as Rabbanan. That would have many interesting nafkaminas. But we, everyone knows that we paskin this, you even learn in high school. Even if you don't pay attention, you learn this in high school. That we paskin that Matzav is Manazeh is Doraisa and Marar is Darabanan. Why is Marar Darabanan is Manazeh? Because of the Pasuk of? Al Matzav and Marar Yochlu. If you have a carbon Pesach, you have Matzav and Marar, and if not, not. Marar is Darabanan. So why is Matzav Doraisa then? It says Al Matzav and Marar Yochlu. He says, but Erev Tochel Matzah is an extra pasuk to be Marar to eat Matzah even without a carbon Pesach. Okay, we're in. I don't know if we'll get to it, so you'll have time to discuss the fascinating oneness that brings up in terms of whether Mchad Din or Tzvi Din and Matzah. But it's pretty clear that there's Dav Kuf Chaf Amin Aleph, there's no Marar without a carbon Pesach. What does the Rambam say? The Rambam says, how does the Rambam describe? Well, what did the Rambam say for a mitzvah? Is that the mitzvah of eating maror? Sure question? He said, there is no mitzvah of eating maror. What does the Rambam actually say about the mitzvah of eating maror? The Rambam, I don't have to tell you this is a chiddush, chooses his language very carefully. Kedarko b'kodesh. And... What?
He does call it a mitzvah.
Yeah, but what does he say? Says Achilas Mar ain't a mitzvah to Torah. They ask Alot Sluy Bechilas HaPesach. She mitzvah say Lechol B'sar Pesach Al Matzos Umrorim. Right, we're talking obviously on the Doraisa level. So let's say the Pesach Matzah Mar is part of the mitzvah of Pesach, but there is no independent mitzvah of Mar. It's just part of the mitzvah of Pesach. Right, it's still a mitzvah. It's part of the mitzvah of Pesach. Right, there are many mitzvahs that have many parts within them, but Mar, and that's the I think the mainstream assumption that Mar is only a mitzvah with Karban Pesach. So now we have a problem, obviously, in our sugya. If Marar is only a mitzvah with Korban Pesach, then why does our sugya say, one second, let me just see if I can find the right page. Why does our sugya say that an Arel, sorry, and it's and a Tomei, and a Derech Chokha, eat Marar? So, let's see, what do we have here? On the one hand, we have no mitzvah of Marar without Pesach. On the other hand, we have Dav Chavches Amid Beis, and also, it all, these drushes also come up over there, which says Arel and Tameh and Derech Rechoka and maybe Ben Nechar, right? If you hold, if you darshan the Ben Nechar, bo'in o'ochel o'ochel matzah marar, instead of bo'in o'ochel, of bo'hamor stas bo'selas, bein hamor stas bo'selas v'truma, right? Archayav in marar. Now, obviously, I've written a lie on the board, right? Not obviously. I could squeeze by without having written a lie on the board, and, but, it seems to be pretty obvious that I've written a lie on the board. Because if there's no mitzvah of Marar without a Karban Pesach, then the Arel and the Tamei Derech Chokha don't need a Karban Pesach. For that matter, anyone else who doesn't need a Karban Pesach, whether it's some lazy guy who doesn't bring a Karban Pesach, right, should not have to eat Marar. Should not be chayiv in Marar. So, clearly, something I've said here is a lie. Which is a lie? Is the leftmost column of a lie or the rightmost column of a lie? What would Rabbi Nadav and the Chiddush Aran say in the Ramban? Which column is a lie? Exactly. Right? Where's the lie? Ramban, Rabbi Nadav, the Ran say this is the lie. You think our Gemara said they're chayav to eat Marar? What did our Gemara really mean? Not chayav b'marar. What did our Gemara, not rather, our Gemara didn't really mean that these people are chayav in matzah and marar, but what did it really mean? Chayav in matzah. Oh, if they're only chayav in matzah, why did our Gemara say marar? Ashigra delishna. Right, because mara and matzah always go together. Right, we're always saying matzah and mara, matzah and mara, matzah and mara. Right, you ask your grandmother, matzah, and she'll say, and mara. So therefore, a shikra delish that flows off the lips. We said matzah and mara, even though we didn't really mean it. If you want to make the shigur delishna a little sweeter, because it is a little funny. The whole issue of shigur delishna always strikes you as a little funny because, maybe I can do a shigur delishna, and maybe if I go to the grocery store, they might say something a shigur delishna. But you think that the Gemara would be a little more careful. But it could be, and this is like we find with a lot of shigur delishnas, that. Really, lamaisa midrabanan, all these people eat mara anyway. Right? So it's not as if Chazal were saying something totally untrue, ashigur delishna. They were just throwing in the drabanans with the doraisas, and then it's not so crazy. Since they go together anyway, since you're chayiv drabanan anyway, they threw in the drabanan with doraisa ashigur delishna. Just like what's a classic example, we always throw in the drabanan with doraisa ashigur delishna, according to most mepharshim. Grusha v'chalutza, right? Amon l'koin gadol, grusha v'chalutza l'koin hedyot. We all know Chalutz Lekohen Hed is only Drabanan, except for some people who want to say all this Mishnayos are Mando over this Doraisa. But the simple shot is that, Shigur Delishna is Drabanan, similar to Doraisa, and we are used to them going together at Halacha L'maisa on the Drabanan level, we throw them in, even when we're talking on the Doraisa level. Okay, that's one option. Yeah?
Why do you say in the very beginning that you're talking Drabanan?
Because the Drasha, right? The Drasha has to be Doraisa. And Davka, this has to be a real drasha, because they're trying to figure out how you meet each pasuk and how that affects something else. You can't just say that's Machlok Yalma. Now, how do you think, does the Rambam, which side does the Rambam think is a lie? The right or the left? That I think is very clear. Which is a lie, the right or the left?
Right.
The right. Because he for sure says very clearly, he says as clearly as a human being possibly can, that there is no mitzvah to eat maror independent of Karban Pesach. But do you think he would give the answer of the Ramban and Ravina David? I mean, one reason is because his son said he wouldn't, although I have Masorah that Lav Dafka's son always had the right shot in him. But still, you often might have. But if you look at the Lashon of the Ramban in Hilchos Karban Pesach, and this is a little Chazara from parallel with last time. Also, what does the Rambam say in Hilchos Karban Pesach? If I find Hilchos Karban Pesach here someplace. where's this one? What? That's
that's
yeah, that's where it is. Here it is. Right, what does he say? He doesn't discuss Tamein Derech Koka, and he doesn't discuss Benichar, but he does discuss Orel. Right, and what word does he not leave out? He doesn't leave out maror. Right? So, that might, now you could say he's maybe spoken to Rabbanan, but that already might seem to imply that he didn't think it was just a shigur delishna, but especially, what would he say? Right, this is what his son says on his behalf, right? Rav Rambam and Rambam, that famous Maisan Nisan. But what might the Rambam say? What might the Rambam say? How would he end the sentence? Not chayav v'matza umarar, but what might the Rambam say? Mutter and matza umarar. Why? Because the Rambam says by oral ochel v'matza umarar and says v'chein mutter l'hachol matza umarar l'ger toshav l'sachar. Like we discussed last time, the deity of his lashon is clear that by toshav l'sachar there's a heter and it stays a heter because toshav l'sachar means goyim in this context. But by oral there's a heter which ends up being a mitzvah. But the yisod of the drasha seems to be not chayiv matzah umarar, right, against Tosos, but mutter b'matzah v'morah. And that is, right, how his son explains it, or Rambam and Rambam. He says, no, what did my father do with this sugya? He doesn't pull a shigur delishna like the Ramban will. He says that it doesn't mean chayiv and matzah umarar, it means mutter and matzah umarar, because you would have a havamina to answer these people in matzah umarar. Kamashu on their mutter and matzah and maror. Now, as we pointed out last time, when it comes to Toshav and Sachir and Orel and Benechar, we find out Benechar, it's a lot more nichon to understand this Rambam. We just had a Chiddush. Tosos says, what's the Havnina ask for anyone in matzah and maror? Matzah and maror have Kedusha? And I think the answer is they don't have Kedusha. I'm not willing to be so fancy as to say that matzah and maror in Tel Aviv have Kedusha. Maybe the Matzah Mor Yerushalayim, the Yitzchak Karmel Pesach, can integrate into its Kedusha. But I'm not going to be so fancy and say the Matzah Mor Tel Aviv has Kedusha. But, right, we explained that Matzah and Mor are not just Stam Mitzvos. Matzah and Mor are Kiliyos from Mitzrayim. Matzah and Mor are being part of Yitzchak Mitzrayim. And the Havamina that a Tosh Mitzvah, a guy, can't be part of Yitzchak Mitzrayim. And a Ben Necher worships idols, can't be part of Yitzchak Mitzrayim. Eloy Shamoy Nego, Mishkul Kulachem. And you might have a Havamina and Oro can't be part of Yitzchak Mitzrayim. Right? The whole point of an Orel is not a technical soul because of Mios, like maybe it is in other areas of Halacha. The whole point of Orel is that if you're not in the bris, then you're not committed to the religious aspect of Yitzchak Mitzrayim. So if you're not committed to the religious aspect of Yitzchak Mitzrayim, then you shouldn't be committed to the social, historical, you shouldn't be able to enjoy and participate and relate to the social, historical aspects either. So I think the Hav makes a lot of sense by Orel and Ben Nechar and Tosh Ben Sacher.
I was going to say for Orel, according to Rashi, which is basically Rafael, or Tame even.
Orel might depend what kind of Orel, whether you hold like Rashi or Minu Tam. Tame and their Rechoka are going to be tricky ones. That's why I'm not sure I would have said this without Rav Ram Ben Aram on my side. He says explicitly, the Ram have done the same before us, right? But Rav Ram Ben Aram says, even Tame and their Rechoka, you had a Havmi of their Usser in Matzah and Morer. That is a big fish. A Havmi that Tame and their Rechoka are Usser in Matzah and Morer. The Tame guy knew he was just minding his own business. He's a very from Erlich Yid. Maybe he's even a Tzaddik in the Gadol Ador. And it so happened, he's walking down the street and someone died and landed on him. Or whatever the case may be, Derek Rechoka, the guy got sick and he's in, the hospital in Be'er Sheva and can't get out of his hospital bed. So I think there it's a bit more of a Kiddush, even as a Havamina, but I think what you have to say is that the Havamina, that even the Tomei Derek Rechoka are Usri Matzen Morar. What's the Havamina? The Havamina is, I think you probably have to say this Havamina for the Rambam, because you want Orel to be parallel to Tomei Derech Rechoka, and even Orel's not so posh if he holds like Rashi. But, for sure, for a Rav Ben Rambam who understands his father this way, you have to say, what's the Havamina? What's the whole point of Yitzchak Mitzrayim? Right, the Matzah and Mora represent the Golos and the Geula, represent the, again, the physical aspects of the Geula, on the simple level. What does Korban Pesach represent? Korban Pesach represents the commitment, right? Korban Pesach represents the act of commitment to the bris with Hashem. Right? That's what the point of Korban Pesach was. So maybe you could say this, even if you're not a bad person, the Havamina is that it's usher for you to eat, even if you're not a bad person, even if it's not your fault at all, even if you are, the Chafetz Chaim, and you just happen to be coming in Derech Rechoka, right? If you are that it's usher to eat matzah and maror without Korban Pesach, then it's usher, even if you're a good person and your personal life you're okay, but it's usher at the Pesach Seder to have the physical story of Golos and Geula without the commitment to the bris. And even if internally in your heart you haven't done anything wrong, right now, if I eat matzah and maror without Korban Pesach, what I'm saying is, oh, there's a historical Jewish history of Yetzias Mitzrayim which doesn't have the aspect of commitment to a bris with Hashem. And even though it's not my fault I'm making that statement, the Havamina is no, you can't eat the history of Geulas and Ki'ilu Yatzim Yitzrayim without also integrating with it and eating the same bite of the same sandwich the bris with Hashem and the idea of the korban and sacrifice and Prishim Avodah Zarah, etc. So I think you can say the Havamina, even for Tomei Derech Rechoka. You may have to say this Havamina even for non-Tamei Derech Rechoka, just anyone who coincidentally, lost his Korban Pesach, or certainly anyone who lost it before Hakrava, before Shechita. I think it's not a crazy Havamina. It's usher to, even if you're a good person, it's usher to eat the matzah and maror without a Korban Pesach, because that's making the hashkafically antithetical statement to what we really believe about the nature of what happened on Tesh B'av Nisan thousands of years ago. Of course, it's only a Havamina.
Could it be that Havamina is different than us, the fact that you bring in Pesach Sheni anyways and maybe eating Matzah and Maror the first time is going to take away from Pesach Sheni?
The Havamina is that it's usher to eat Matzah and Maror because you have to do it on Pesach Sheni. Why should I make it usher? Now, as a Ptur, that's Gevaldik Havamina that we mentioned last time, I think. But as an iser, because I have to do it next time, it's also me to do it this time. It's like zero, I might forget to do it next time.
Oh, could it be that it takes away if I'm a kaim or imatsimar now?
Ah, that's an interesting havmina. That if we're talking there are kachoka who are chayim pesach sheni, and not just happen to be chayim pesach sheni, but definitional chayim pesach sheni, there's a havmina, it's like the grub who doesn't let you say krishma, right, before shul starts, right? Right, if you miss on krishma, right, the minute olim say krishma first, before they start davening at 9 o'clock on Shabbos morning, in the young Israel of, whoop-de-wah. But the Gra says that's usher, because you're not allowed to say krishma first now, because you're supposed to say it with the brachas, and if you said it already, then we say it with the brachas, you're not saying it properly with the brachas. So you want to say it's also that you're supposed to eat it with the Garban Pesach, you'll have another chance, and if you eat it now without the Garban Pesach, it'll take away from your keen of eating with the Garban Pesach, because you're already yotze. You have to be yotze them all at once, not two now and one later. Oh, but I thought he was saying in terms of Torah, not in terms of an Isser. Ah, I see what you're saying. Yeah. I didn't read it that way, but I guess Gutenberg did.
Which is the end, he kind of takes it back. He read the whole... Before the end, he kind of like says it again and doesn't have that. Well,
there's
only
happening.
I know, but.
Right, but I hear the time. That might be with it, you know. That might be what the Rashbam is saying. I totally hear that. So, okay, you have two ways of explaining. I admit, when it comes to the Tomei and Derech Hakoka, you have two ways of explaining the Havmin, they can't eat Mat and Marer, even though they're nice people. Either there's a Havmin, you don't want to ruin their Kiyam next time around, or, and Kamash one doesn't ruin their Kiyam next time around, or there's a Havmin that you can't do. A misleading, hashkafically incomplete Pesach Seder, even if you yourself in your heart are a very good person, but you can't do a hashkafically misleading Matzah Marer. Come on, Shmuel, we're not worried about that. Okay, Gevaldik. That is the Rambam as explained by his son, based on what he says about Ariel, or what he hints about Ariel, and what he says about Toshan and Sacher, his son extends into Tamei and Derech Hakoka. The question is, that's on one side of the coin, which keeps the assumption there's no mitzvah of Marer without Korban Pesach. But who is the main person who questions that assumption? Who says that Daf Kuf Chaf is a lie? Not your lie, but my summary of that, my carefully, incorrectly crafted summary is what? Already Tosefta seems to imply that. Now, you know, Tosefta's are notorious. For being unreliable in the Gersos, etc. But the Tosefta does seem to say, right? Chazeres and Matan Pesach are not Makim Zetzah. That sounds like, fine, so the Pesach is not Makim the Matzah Gevaldik. The Matan are not Makim the Pesach Gevaldik. But what do you mean, the Pesach and the Matzah are not Makim the Chazeres? That means it could be Yotzei Matzah without a Korban Pesach. So that already sounds like maybe I was lying here, right? So, again, most people think like the Rambam and the Ramban are being a dove in the Chuchiran. But already based on the Tosefta, you might say, there is a mitzvah from the Torah, I mean, to eat maror without Korban Pesach. Ah, then what does the Gemara in Daf Kuf Chaf mean? If there's a mitzvah to eat maror by itself, there is a mitzvah, just not... Exempt Nabazman Azeh! Bizman Habayis. Just not Bizman Hazeh. If you read the Gemara carefully, it never said there's no mitzvah the rights of Mara if you don't bring your Korban Pesach. It says there's no mitzvah the rights of Mara Bizman Hazeh! But maybe there's a difference between Zman Hazeh and. Right? Maybe it's in the nowadays in 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, there's a mitzvah say no rice eat more without a Korban Pesach. Haraya, take our market shuto. An RL 2,000 years ago was chayiv no rice eat more without a Pesach. Chazeres matzah and Pesach imach and zetzah. A tummy and derech chokka were chayiv eat more even without a Korban Pesach. Just nowadays, you're potter from eating more. Of course, that brings up, who holds this? The Meir brings down both Pshatim, right? Doesn't he bring down both Pshatim?
Yeah.
Right, but who spends pages and pages that I was mashriach you to keep at your makom saying this? This is Rav Daniel of Avni. Right, the Shut Maisa Nisan is a great book. The Shut Nice and Easy, thank you, is there's someone called Daniel Habavli, who wrote kashas against the Rambam, mostly against the Sefer Mitzvos. I think maybe they're all against the Sefer Mitzvos. He wrote kashas on the Sefer Mitzvos of the Rambam. And then Rabbeinu Rambam answered them on his father's behalf. You know, and maybe this was after the Rambam passed away, so he couldn't answer them himself. I don't know the exact timeline. You have to check out the history. But the whole Shut Nice and Easy is Rav Daniel Habavli's kashas on the Rambam, and Rabbeinu Rambam's answers. Now, it was written by two people named Daniel and Avram. You might ask, why is it called Shut Nice and Easy? But if you look on the cover page, check it out on HebrewBooks.org. I didn't believe it, so I checked it out on HebrewBooks.org. And it's called Nice and Easy because when they first printed it, the guy who donated money to print it was named Easy. So they called it the Shut Nice and Easy. So that's the Shut. I mean, originally when they wrote it, they just called it, you know, Rabbeinu Rambam's letters to Daniel Habavli. Okay, but then somebody named Nissen gave a lot of money. And it was a good thing, because we're glad we have it. And Magilo. This is a Yesho Rav Namiri, but Rav Daniel Habavli, right? In the daf, the only people we have in the daf is a Yesho Rav Namiri. If people would take Rav Lichtenstein's suggestions to heart and always read through that. What's that the brown book called?
Torah
Sur Shonim. It's got to be in the Torah Sur Shonim, although it might be in Daf Kuf Chaf. I don't know if it's here or there. I think it's there actually. But Rav Daniel Habavli Yeshon Meiri. Interestingly, in the later Doros, someone also came up and took this approach. I think it might have been in the brackets. No, maybe not. The Minchas Chinuch also agreed with this. He didn't know the Shut Nice and Easy. The Rav Ruchel Frischel Perlau has a long essay, because you can imagine, this is like classic Rav Ruchel Frischel Perlau, is more a mitzvah or not, right, and why not? So why is it more a mitzvah? Because there's no mitzvah without Pesach. Oh, because, so he had great one, it goes into it. The Minchas Chinuch didn't have a Shut Nice and Easy in his library, but he thought of this on his own, and the Minchas Chinuch also leaned towards accepting this way.
And you mentioned both options.
Yeah.
So we're saying that if the Korban Pesach is being brought to Yerushalayim, then it's a few derech so not more, but it's not enough?
Possibly. So let me just rephrase your question as a question. Gavaldik. So this is the more machudish way of looking at things, right? To take a sakina harifa and say, it's not that you need a Korban Pesach for Moror. You just need this man carbon taste after the Chayav Dereis and Moror. But what is the difference between this man carbon Pesach and this man Azeh? Like, why should 2,000 years ago, if I was in Woodmere, I'd be Chayav and Moror? And now, if I'm in Woodmere, I'm Pasher Dereis and Moror. What's the difference? Either way, it's the same. So what is the difference between Zman Hazeh and Zman Abayis? So I think there are perhaps two ways of answering it. What were you sort of hinting at? Okay, what is the difference? Say something more interesting, not what I have on the sheet.
Maybe there isn't a difference.
No, but then you're not taking the side.
Laman Damar, that there's no Kiddushin nowadays. There's no Kiddushin, there's Yisrael.
Ah, okay. So hold that thought. I thought of something a little speculative. First, I'll share something speculative. It may be that I might end up having to say this with Minchas Chinuch because of what he says. at the end of Parashas Vayikra about Shuas HaPikadon, but sorry, Ian, what's the difference? So, this is something a little speculative, but maybe you could say, what's the difference? We'll call this 3, continuing from there, that the difference is that you're only Chayav Dereis and Moror with the Korban Pesach. But in the Zman Avayis, I'm with you, even if I'm not with my carbon Pesach, I'm with your carbon Pesach. Al Masa Zemurin, even though I don't have a carbon Pesach with this Masa and Maror, you have a carbon Pesach with Masa and Maror. And if we assume, which is very controversial all over Shas, right, what's the only carbon that we're not sure exactly if it's a carbon Yachid or a carbon Sever? I think. Carbon Pesach, right? The Gemara says it's like a carbon Sever because it's Baba Knufya, but it is a carbon Yachid. It's very unclear. Every other carbon is very clear. There are carbon of Sivar, like Tmidim and Musafim and Parhelim Darashel Sivar. There are carbon of Yachid, you know, like, I don't know, Asha Metzorah and like regular Nedar Nedava and like, you know, the Kingdom of Yoledness and V'chulim V'chuli Adem Benayim. And then Pesach is somewhere in between. Because on the one hand, each person brings their own Pesach, Right? On the other hand, you bring it in groups, but not Klal Yisrael, but it has dinim of a carbon sieve, and quote the Gemara says, it's brought by everyone together. Everyone brings their own, but they all bring it together, and there's some chalos of that togetherness. after all, you know, okay, the Pesach has to do with the regal, the whole point of the regal is that we're all together, and the whole point of carbon Pesach is that we're one Am Yisrael. So it could be, if you want to be a little speculative, that you need a carbon Pesach to be on your matzah morer, but with Man Abayis, even if you are an Arel or a Tony Derech Choka, but you know, Reuven and Shimon and Levi brought a carbon Pesach, and that made you chayv and morer daraisa because their carbon Pesach connects to your morer. Nowadays, no one brings a carbon Pesach, so there's no carbon Pesach to connect to your morer. So maybe we're saying that we're not even saying such a big lie. We're saying that you're only Chayav v'maror if someone has a carbon Pesach, right? But it doesn't have to be you, and then you'd have to emphasize the tzibur aspect of carbon Pesach and say, even though I didn't bring carbon Pesach, since it's a tzibur idea to bring carbon Pesach, therefore, the other people brought the carbon Pesach on my behalf. Again, not literally, I still have to bring a Pesach Sheni, but you have to really be very subtle in saying there's a Yachid aspect of the carbon Pesach and I missed out, I have to bring it on carbon Pesach Sheni. There's also a Tzibur aspect of carbon Pesach, and therefore, you can call this Almatos or Rom Yochluhu because the people in Yerushalayim are eating the carbon Pesach while I'm eating matzah and maror. That's a big chish.
Something to the Korban Pesach in Yerushalayim that would then make you part of that tzibur?
Meaning, could you be Nismane on a Pesach if you're Tomei or Derech Rechoka?
Therefore you would qualify.
Right, I understand what you're saying. Could you literally be part of a Korban Pesach? So, I think not. Certainly, Orel and Tomei. Yeah, I don't think you can have a minoy on a carbon Pesach.
It's necessarily eat it also, no?
What?
You wouldn't be allowed to be nimna and not
eat. Okay, so there's a whole discussion about the role of eating in carbon Pesach. There's a machlok as I'm writing in many places in Shas where there are chivas ma'akev, and there are some sugars that are not so clear about what that means. Are they arguing whether you need achila or don't need achila, or whether you need potential achila or don't need potential achila? The simple shot is that we paskin you need potential achila. Bottom line, the simple shot is we pass that b'shas shchita you need potential achila in order to be yotzei carbon Pesach. But that's definitely a direction to think about. Okay, this is one very speculative approach that if you emphasize the tzibur aspect of carbon Pesach, maybe that's why it's different. Nowadays I have no carbon Pesach with my maror, but 2,000 years ago I might have been an Orel Tomei on a Derech Rechoka, but Daniel Gutenberg was bringing a carbon Pesach and that was the chayavi and maror midaraisa.
Could it be that if there's a possibility to bring a Korban Pesach, then I'm chayav in Pesach Sheni, therefore a Torah Korban Pesach, even if I'm not bringing it, where nowadays is no...
Okay, Givaldik. That, I think, the more... Sorry. Okay, I did make it wrong. Don't worry. I didn't have to. I don't want to drink water at all. I just thought maybe it would keep me from coughing for 2 minutes, so I could say an idea. Maybe the difference between Zman HaZen and Zman HaBayis is that the Zman HaBayis, you were chayav in Korban Pesach. And if you're chayav in Korban Pesach, then you're chayav in Matzah Maror. But the Zman HaZeh, we are mufka. We're not chayav in Korban Pesach at all. Maybe this is the point. It's not that you need, it's not that you need to eat mar with the Karban Pesach. You're only chayiv in mar if you're chayiv in Karban Pesach. Bizman Abayis, we are chayiv in Karban Pesach. Bizman Hazeh, we are not chayiv at all in Karban Pesach. Maybe that's the part of Rav Daniel Habavli and the Yishalmer Tzeder. Maybe Rav Daniel Habavli holds that, yeah, when you're chayiv in Pesach, you're chayiv in mar. You're chayiv in Pesach. It so happens you mess up and don't bring the Pesach. Right? But if you're chayiv in Pesach, then you're chayiv in mar. Nowadays, we're never chayiv in Pesach in the first place. Okay, you have to assume that it's humming and there are book are fundamentally chayiv in Pesach.
Besides, you would tell the Otobet.
Which might be totally on the onus question, exactly, to the court of Tommy is an onus. And the... Right. But if you won't make the assumption that you're fundamentally chayiv in Pesach 2,000 years ago, nowadays we're fundamentally potter from Pesach, then that explains it. The question is that really true? Is it really true that nowadays we're fundamentally potter from karbanos? Or do we just have a technical problem bringing karbanos? Now here, I'm getting a little political, perhaps, or at the very least, historical. What do I mean by historical? This is the historical machlokas between who and who? What? Okay, let me give you a little history of religious Zionism. Right?
Oh, that was focus.
Right? Nowadays, I don't know what religious Zionism means. You know, it means what color yarmulke you wear and what color shirt you have and whether you wear open-toed sandals or not. But in the old days, it meant, you know, something a little more philosophical. And religious Zionism meant that you wanted to come back to Eretz Yisrael and do all the mitzvos that you could do in Eretz Yisrael, not just the obvious ones like Truma and Meiser, which are very wonderful and inspiring, v'chumi. But you wanted to go all the way. And who was one of the founders of religious Zionism? Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, in the Drishas Tzion, right? He wrote a book, Drishas Tzion, where he wrote about how you wanted to go back to Eretz Yisrael and bring karbonos. Right? He wanted to bring karbonos. On Har HaBayis. After all, the Rama says, Makriv and Afushein Shem Bayis. And he had a whole plan. And it was Leibedik at the time. And among all the Gedolim in Europe, corresponded, he sent a copy to all the Gedolim, and they all got into all these tremendously Leibedik sugyas of, you know, basically all the technical issues, right? So he wrote to Rabbi Kiva Eger, and, you know, among the Gedolim at the time, just like nowadays, there are those who are more like head in the clouds and the Reis Nedrish. There are those who are a little more practical in terms of leadership. So he wrote to Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger wrote how he thought you could deal with all the issues and sent it to his son-in-law, the Chassam Sofer, to ask his opinion. And the Chassam Sofer wrote back to his father-in-law. He said, you know, this all sounds good based on the assumption that the Sultan of Turkey, if you bribe him with a few thousand dinars, will allow this plan. But I happen to know that, regardless of what the halacha says, the Sultan of Turkey is not going to let us bring karbanos at Har HaBayis. He has a mosque and everything, and he's not, like, into religious diversity and pluralism. And so the Chassam Sofer, I guess, was more of a communal leader. He knew this wasn't a practical plan at that time, and okay, still not. But the Eger thought you could deal with a lot of the issues. The Chassam Sofer thought you could deal with a lot of the issues. Everyone discussed it now. Everyone discussed it then. And basically, the Drisha Tzion sent to Rabbi Kiva Eger and sent to the Chassam Sofer and all the Gedolim, and they all said, well, what are all the issues? There's no Beis HaMikdash. So is the Rambam right in the Kedushin of Beis HaMikdash, or is the Ravid right that there's no Kedushin in the Beis HaMikdash? And if the Ravid's right, there's no Kedushin in the Beis HaMikdash. Maybe there's a Heter Bama and you can do it anyway. And they all, and do we have Kohanim nowadays? Any Kohanim here? Shmuley, put your fingers in your ears for a second. So there's a famous Machlokes. Who is this Machlokes between the Marashdam and I forget who. Okay, they'll come back to me. Already 400 years ago, are our Kohanim nowadays real Kohanim Midoraisa or not real Kohanim Midoraisa? Big Day Kahuna, right? Do we have Techelus or not? In those days, there's no Murex Trunculus. The Machlokes was, can you rely on the Radzina Rebbe? Right? Because the Abu Pas and the Abdi needs Techelus. So can you rely on the Radzina Rebbe that he found the right Techelus or not? And all the Mizbeach, do we know where the Machlokes of Mizbeach is? All these technical issues. And then he wrote to Rav Yaakov Ettlinger, right, the earthen air, and the Shut Binyan Tzion, right, if you, I Xeroxed it here someplace, right? That's what I mean. If you look, I put the beginning, right, Altuna Thomas Tofresh Chafez, right, that's 1862 for some of us, L'Rabago Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, right? He's writing from Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, and he's saying, Al-Varsha Hel of the Sifra Yakar, right? In your Sefer Drishas Tzion, that it's a chov on all of us to try and bring karbanos, etc., etc., just like they did before they built the second Beis HaMikdash. They brought Karbanos to the Makom HaMikdash. And the Binyan Tzion says, nope. He says, you all missed the boat. It's not just a technical problem nowadays that we don't have Karbanos. There's a fundamental reason why we don't have Karbanos nowadays. The fundamental reason we don't have Karbanos nowadays. And because the Pasuk says in Eicha, the lower Riach, the Reach Nichochachem, and Karbanos are the Reach Nichoach. So what's Hashem saying? That this Zman HaGolos, right? I mean, this is Tzionim versus Sakhar, right? This Zman HaGolos, we don't just technically have a problem that we don't have all the proper, background in place for Karbanos. Hashem's fundamentally not interested in Karbanos because Golos is a different kind of existence, and until Hashem brings the Gula, he's not interested in our worshiping him on such an exalted level. It's sad. And therefore, we're mufka from Karbanos Bezman Azad. Interestingly, the Nitziv, famously, he was also part, and everyone was part of the discussion, he agreed with the Binyan Tzion, except for Karban Pesach. Because he thought that all the other Karbanos were for Reich Nichalach, but Karban Pesach was for celebrating Pesach. And therefore, meaning Eino Ba'al L'Achila, the Gemara says, so all other Karbanos are fundamentally for Akrava, so we're Mufka Zman Azeh, Karban Pesach is fundamentally for Achila, so we're Chayav Zman Azeh. So when it came to Karban Pesach, he agreed with the Chiyur of Kalasher, and he was supportive of, let's see what we can work out to start bringing Karban Pesach this year. But the Binyan Tzion says we're fundamentally Mufka from Karbanos. And this is a very, very... fundamental machlokis about, you know, how you look at Karbanos nowadays. Obviously, philosophically, Karbanos are a very exalted and sublime thing, and we all wish we had them, and that's what we say in the davening. But, you know, is it something that, like, the Ikaron we're shayach to, we just need to, we just need to work out the details? You know, something's on our horizon. Or is it something that is a totally different level of existence, and we need to dream about a different universe, called the Yom HaMashiach? But it's not something that's shaykh at all for our universe. And this was the machlokas between Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer and the Drisha Tzion and Rav Yaakov Ettlinger and the Binyan Tzion. The titles sound like they're going to say the same thing. But he says it's a chova, we're all chayiv and karbanos. Obviously, it doesn't mean we're all going to get courage for not bringing Karban Pesach because, you know, we can only do what we can. Hashem doesn't expect us to be superhuman. But we all have to try as hard as we can to bring karbanos. Binyan Tzion says, no, we don't have to try at all to bring karbanos. If you even... he even says that... sorry. That even though the Rambam says we can be makir without a bias... That just means b'dievet would be kosher, or that just means we makir b'chutz b'chayiv kosher, or that just means, like, if we had a Navi bring the Geula, but the Kavlan hadn't finished the Beis HaMikdash yet, like the original mission of this, the original discussion, my Pinov Shein Bias means, they ask, what did they do in time Ezra and Nehemiah until they finished building it? The answer is, you can be makir without a bias. Yeah, fine, when the Navi comes and says you have Geula, then you're in a different universe, then you don't need a bias. But, he says, fundamentally, it's usher to be makir of Karbanos B'man Azeh, because they're not desired. So we have this fundamental machlokas whether karbonos bizman hazeh are we chayav but anos by technical problems, and the technical problems are many. Meaning ad hayom hazeh we're not sure how to solve all the technical problems. Right? Do we know where the Mizbeach was? So some people say we do, and other people say, no, we can't know where it is, because only archaeologists tell us, and the archaeologists are fossil. And do we know what Tchelos is? Some people say yes, and other people say no. Do we know who Kohanim are? So the truth is, the weight of halachic authority is on the side of you are a Kohen. So not to worry. The Chazon Ish said that way, and the Sam Sofer, I think, decided that way, that Taki, you are a Kohen, Midoraisa. But not so pot. So there's still a lot of issues to be worked out. But are we fundamentally chayiv? This is the Drusha Tzion. Or are we fundamentally mukta from Karbanos? This is the Binyan Tzion, who says we're fundamentally mukta from Karbanos because of Lo Ariyah
etc. If you look in the Achronen, some of them want to say things that like are a little bit more mechudesh. Maybe, at least I'll leave it to derive it, we're fundamentally muffled from Karbanos because you don't have a bias, or some people even want to say we're fundamentally muffled from Karbanos because you don't have a mizbeach. That's more of a chiddush to say the lack of a bias or a mizbeach would fundamentally potter us from Karbanos. We would think it's just a technical problem. Certainly a mizbeach, but, you know, or because no bias, I'll leave it derived, or because no mizbeach. It's actually in the Turi Evan quote, someone in Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes wants to say, you can actually build a mizbeach and bring Karbanos, but until you bring a mizbeach, you're fundamentally mufka from Karbanos. Although, I think that's a big finish. I think if you're going to say you're mufka, I prefer the Binyan Tzion's reason.
I didn't see the Jewish Tzion, so I have a blight. Exactly. We made it sound like the Jewish Tzion that not only like we're understanding our potential problems, but we need to get out of it, because unless we start bringing Karbanos, then we should never really come.
Ah, okay, so right, that was the more Hashkafic part of the Jewish Tzion, that he actually thought bringing Karbanos would bring the Shiach. In which case, like, you really have to work on it very hard.
It's not like a prerequisite.
Yeah.
Come without.
Right. So according to that, like I don't remember if it was like an absolute, but he thought it was very, very important to bring Karbanos, not just that, you know, we all want to be spiritual. But this is a fundamental machlokes. And maybe what I want to claim is, and then I'll just throw in some lishitases, so that I won't be crazy, is that maybe this is part of Solomon or Sugya. This maybe is the Svara of Rav Daniel HaBavli. Right? Maybe the Svara of Daniel HaBavli is, I think, the simplest way to say Svara. Say, yeah, Bizmanazeh or Pazuk, because you're roughly wrong with Bizmanazeh. Karbanos don't apply Bizmanazeh at all. Kachim doesn't apply Bizmanazeh. But an Aral and Tarim Ne'erchov 2,000 years ago, Bizchayim, Kachim applied. He just made himself a problem, or had a problem. He just had a technical problem. And then, although this is very far from Mokrach, but I think it will work out Lashitase, I'm putting this in parentheses because Lav Davka, this is the only reason the Rambam said his thing, but the Rambam certainly works out if he takes the other side. And that makes a lot of sense because his Lashon HaMakrivin of Misha in Shambayas might seem to indicate that. Ayin, and I said the 32nd Simon of Kira Stipler and Zvachim wants to argue that the Rambam really holds like the Binyan Tzion. And he has good tainas, but I think that I'm comfortable enough that there's a way out of his tainas, or at least a way to split the difference with some way. And that works out well for the Lashon, right? Of his Lashon, Makrivin, Afalpi, She'en Shambayis, right? Sounds Makrivin like. No, mamish, the whole thing applies. Not like, oh, well, optional if you did it b'di'eved, you know, would have some chalos. But it sounds like mamish is a wonderful thing to be makriv if you can. He really sounds like a Drisha Tzion. Correct. Correct. But the Lashon doesn't, you know, he could have said someplace like, you know, but you're not chayav, or certainly if you thought your pasri should have said someplace. But those are not my real lishitases. Right, I have two other rounds of lishitases.
You're also listed about the Sefer Mitzvah.
Oh, but that's fine, because either way, when Mashiach comes, they'll apply forever.
No, but wouldn't it be a mitzvah d'oros?
No, either way, it wouldn't be a mitzvah d'oros, because it's going to come back when Mashiach comes, and then last forever.
And if it comes back when Mashiach comes, then it would be a mitzvah d'oros?
Yeah. That I'm very confident of. Now, what would be some other nafkaminas of this hakira? And I think in these other nafkaminas, I'll prove to you the Rambam is l'shitase, might be, let's first stick with Karban Pesach. Two other Karban Pesach nafkaminas, one of which I found in the Sitz Eliezer and some other people, and one of which I found a line someplace that according to some people might have something to do with vaguely, but I think it's a good nafkamina, is that Sitz Eliezer discussed this. Apparently some people have a chumrah. The Chabadniks were like makron on this for 20 years. Like the Rebbe says, and then applied you should be up in this chumrah, and then 20 years later he said you shouldn't. Very unclear. And then he had an explanation. But some people have a chumrah to go on a derech rechoka, the Shas Karban Pesach, so that
you know, they won't be chayiv in Pesach Sheni, and, you know, possibly, obviously, you're not really going to be chayiv karis, but they won't have to do an aveira. They won't have to do an extra aveira. Some people have this chumra. The Sicily hates that chumra. But what? Well, once you went to the Chabadniks used to do it for Pesach Sheni. Also, the once you went to Derech Chogra for Pesach Rishon, we paskin. Well, it's not close to show, but I think we paskin. It's hard to tell how we paskin. That you can't be chayiv karis on Pesach Sheni anyway, no matter what you do wrong. So that makes you better off. So is there room? Obviously, no one's saying this is the din. Question is, like, if you're a brisker chumra type person, is this even like one of these brisker chumras, or is this just nonsense? Right? Even briskers don't do nonsense. They do real chumras that are just probably not required. But one nafkamina could be the chumra to go on derech rechoka. Some people, not many people, I'm not saying this is a popular chumra, I'm not saying the briskers do it. I have no idea. Someone told me what they thought, some briskers did it. I don't know. To go on a derech rechoka, b'shash chitas ha-pesach. What?
We're all
tame. Aren't we tame anyway? Ah, but since we're all tame, so that doesn't help. Since we're all tame, that doesn't help. So if you think we're fundamentally chayav, then it's still like a crazy chumra. But at least there's what to talk about in this crazy chumra.
If we're all tame, does that mean we're chayav, or does that mean
it's not I think we pass in chayav. But the Tzitz Eliezer says, right, that it's shtos, right? He says, this is shtos, what do you mean? We're mufker from karbanos anyway, like the Benitzion, not like the Netzir, from Karban Pesach also. Right, we're mufker from karbanos anyway. There's no such thing as worrying about whether you're chayv in karbanos. When Mashiach comes, we'll be chayv in karbanos. Meanwhile, Kachim was meant to be Talmud Torah Lishma, and then when Mashiach comes, we'll be in a different oilam, and in that oilam, there will be halakha l'maisa of Kachim, not just Talmud Torah of Kachim. Because he feels very strongly like the Benitzion. Another nafkamina, I thought, and this is only to make two assumptions. This may be discussion Tosefta. This Tosefta has it's also called a Yerushalmi, and the Yerushalmi is even less clear than Tosefta. A mysterious line about Nitan Lemishrol of no space Havachira. It's not clear whether that belongs to the previous line of Tosefta, to the next line of Tosefta, what case it's talking about. Some people say it's Lefanos, not Livnos, but Nitan Lemishrol of no space Havachira. But maybe it can happen nafkamina. What if, and maybe this is what the Tosefta is talking about, although not so pashut, what if, the Graz seems to sound like this is what the Tosefta is talking about, what if we built the Beis HaMikdash between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni? And you make two assumptions. A, that Sheni is Tashlumin to Rishon, which seems to be an assumption, and B, that a Tzibur can be Nidcha. So hold on a second. If you build the Beis HaMikdash, let's say we build the Beis HaMikdash on Yom HaAtzmaut, Gevaldik. We build the Beis HaMikdash on Yom HaAtzmaut, are we chayiv Pesach Sheni or not? Are we chayiv Pesach Sheni or not? So what if we build the Beis HaMikdash between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni? So if you said, we're fundamentally chayiv in Pesach Rishon, we're an onus, so Shogeger and Ones is chayiv in Pesach Sheni. Right? So that would be chayavim in Pesach Sheni. But if you said, no, we're mufka from Pesach Rishon Lagambre, and you assume Sheni is only Tashlumin to Rishon, all of which, meaning, if you assume someone who converts after Pesach Rishon is Patur from Sheni, then yeah, when it came to Kachim, we converted after Pesach Rishon. We used to not have Kachim, now we do. Then you'd be Patur from Pesach Sheni. Again, this nafkamina is only if you assume that a Tzibur could be Nidcha, otherwise nothing to talk about, and only if you assume Sheni is Tashlumin to Rishon, otherwise there's nothing to talk about.
Don't you also have to assume that
yes, but I think if you hold Sibur can be Nidche, then you might end up holding that anyway. That's my close tanoim. But I'm not, you're right, I have to think about that. So that's some perhaps local carbon Pesach nafkaminas. I mean, perhaps, but it's a first mission that Onus is Chayim Pesach Sheni. So the Maisa will have to work out. Some other Nafkamina called Torkula, I thought that you could connect to this. And then I think our two Ramas L'Shitase are, number one, there's a strange line, the Rush, which the Rush says, everyone knows the Neshus of Ikadon. A lot of people think these things don't apply to Zman Hazeh. And according to the Rush, they're pretty much right. But Shmuel said, because if I owe you money, steal from you, even though I don't mamish, like, pickpocket you or mug you, and I swear falsely, that even applies to none of that. I don't think you need smicha for that. Right? If I just stam, I owe you a dollar, and, or even 10 agorot, and I say, I swear to God I don't owe you the money, that's right there. That's Shmuel Sabikadon. I'm chayiv an asham zelos. Right? Of course, you can't be the asham nowadays, but I am chayiv a very chomer obligation to return it to you, that even if you go to the moon, I have to take a space shuttle to the moon and return it to you. And there's Karen Asham v'chomesh. So what does the Rush say in Baba Kama? Rush says, b'zvanazeh, there's no Asham v'chomesh. B'zvanazeh, there's no chomesh. And then all the chomesh, like, why b'zvanazeh, there's no chomesh? Right? Why is there no chomesh b'zvanazeh? So there's a lot of lumbs got chomesh, which you're not getting into. But here's an argument for silence, but I think a valid one. The Rambam doesn't say anything about not being chomesh b'zvanazeh. The Rambam talks about the dinim of chomesh. He doesn't say anything. The Machaber leaves out the Rambam's lines about chomesh. Because he holds like the Rush, there's no chomesh b'zvanazeh. Sma makes that point. I forget the Marimacho. But it could be that this is another nafkamina. Chomesh b'zman hazeh for Shmuel HaPikadon. If you hold that we're fundamentally chayven in Asham, we're really chayven in Asham. You just didn't get around, you just can't get around to bringing it. That everyone knows you're supposed to give the Karen the chomesh before you bring the Asham anyway. Right? I mean, at least in Gezal Ger, and probably Lechachiv and all. So then you should be chayiv b'chomesh, which is L'chora the Rambam, and then he would be L'shitasei. But if you held you're fundamentally Mokka, then you might say like the Rush, that you're Pater from Chomesh, maybe the Rush would hold like the Binyan Sion. Oh, yeah, I admit you can get out of it. Just one last nafkamina, and then we'll end. This is the famous Reb Chaim Vart. I heard this Reb Chaim Vart since I was a kid, but I decided, well, if I was going to come in here and mention it, I have to like look it up and see if it's written someplace. And it was. I put it in brackets here. It's quoted by the Grizz, La Shas. But the machlokas or the Sfiras HaOmer is midoraiser midrabanan as man as that. What's the svar for the mandam or Sfiras HaOmer is midrabanan? Why should Sfiras HaOmer be midrabanan? What? Because there's no Omer, so there's no Sfiras HaOmer midoraisa. What's the svar for mandam or Sfiras HaOmer midoraisa?
Usually?
Right? Ah.
Usually?
What do most people say?
Totally out of time
of that. Yeah, because I have to taste it. That's to do with the carbon. What's the problem? The Rambam, where did the Rambam bring down mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer? In Hilchos Yontif, Hilchos Chametz Matzah, Hilchos, where is Sfiras HaOmer in the Rambam? Tmidim Musafim. So what should the Rambam say about Bezman HaZeh? He should say Sfiras HaOmer Bezman HaZeh. But the Rambam's Davka, the man HaOmer, that's the right to Bezman HaZeh, even though he's Davka, the one who puts in Tmidim Musafim. The Rambam, it doesn't work out. He puts in Tmidim Musafim, and he says the wrong Lamdas, Kiviyachol, and says the right to Bezman HaZeh. So what's shot in the Rambam? So, Sfiras HaOmer Bezman HaZeh, if it's a din in the carbon, if it's a din in the carbon, so the Rambam says din in the carbon, yet he says the right to Bezman HaZeh. Why? So Reb Chaim explains that it's a din in the chiyuv of carbon, not the chiyuv of the carbon. Yes, Sfiras HaOmer is a din in the carbon. It's a din in the carbon like Marer Kordra V'Daniel Abavli. And it's a din in the carbon like Chomesh. If you're chayiv in carbon, you're chayiv in Sfira. Whether you bring the carbon or not is not the point. The chi of carbon is Machayiv Sfiras HaOmer. And nowadays there's a chi of carbon. What do the other Rishonim say? Who says it's the Rabbanan? Right? And this is the Rambam, L'shitasei, who says it's the Reisa. I think it's unmistakable that the Rambam has a pattern of being the Drisha Tzion person. He is the Drisha Tzion Rishon. He said that even though Sfiras HaOmer is in the carbon, we have carbon as Bezman HaZeh. Technically, you have a problem, but the carbon is chal. You're chayv to bring the carbon, so you're chayv to count. You're chayv to bring an asher, you're chayv to bring a chomesh. Makriven av lishein some bias. And therefore, if Marar was a din in the chi of carbon, it would apply to Bezman HaZeh, which is why you have to say Marar is a din in the chi of carbon. Against Rav Neil Bafli. And obviously, those who hold Sfiras HaOmer Midor Rabbanan could say because it's not even a chiyuv of Zman HaZeh, or because it's in the chiyuv of the carbon. Anyway, so I think it's pretty clear that the Rambam lies on one side of the Chakira, there is another side, right? Maybe the Svaras of the Manda Amr that Midor Rabbanan is that there's no chiyuv of carbon of Zman HaZeh, although it could also be because Sfiras is in the chiyuv of carbon and the actual Havasa carbon. Okay, so that is a very, very important issue that comes out of the discussion of the Neil Bavli. on our system. We'll pick up on your system next time. I realize it's very long, so we'll make it short someday in the future. I just wanted to finish these together.
Why are we assuming that ideas, you know, that it's fundamental?